wine this morning, right?
Good morning. Good morning. We're going to start on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, page 23b, with the next Mishnah, which will discuss what it takes for an animal which gores to become a muad, to now become habituated that its behavior triggers the full penalty. And once an animal is a muad, it's gored already three times, what would it take for it to lose the status of muad? So the Mishnah says, Ezehu tam, how can an animal go back to being a tam? Ezehu muad, what was the need, or what were the behaviors needed to make it into a muad? Muad kol she'idu bo shlosha yamin v'tam mishiyazer bo shlosha yam divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the animal became a muad when there was testimony about three gorings on three different days. So it gored on one day, then the next day, then the next day. So that's already a proof that it's a muad. So what would be needed to leave the status of muad and go back to being a tam? If it retracted on 3 days. So 3 days went by where each day it saw an ox and it chose not to gore that ox.
It goes back to zero?
Then it goes back to being a tam. Right. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Rabbi Meir said, Muad is she'idu bo shlosha pa'amim. Muad doesn't have to be on 3 different days, just 3 times. It could be on the same day. It gored in the morning and it gored at 11 o'clock, then it gored at 1 o'clock. It would become a muad. Tam would be if children can play with it. Children are touching this ox and bothering it, and yet it's very peaceful and patient and it doesn't gore. That would be a sign, that would make it go back to being a tam. So we have an argument. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 3 days. According to Rabbi Meir, it's 3 times. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the way to leave muados is 3 days in a row of having a chance to gore and ignoring that chance. According to Rabbi Meir, even on just one activity can already set back the clock. Now the kids are playing with it and it doesn't respond to the kids, then already it's going back to being a tam. Right.
So I'm going to keep him in for one day, then he become tam. That's why I don't understand.
No, it has to have had the chance to gore and chose not to. No, it was out. There was another animal in front of it. It could have hit it, but it chose not to. It's not that. Yeah, it's not that it was, you know, locked in a fence the whole time, and that's why it didn't gore.
I missed this.
We have to do the same with people.
Thank you.
Says the Gemara. My time under Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, who said to become a muad, the activity has to occur in 3 separate days? Amar Abaye. Abaye explained it's based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Oh no, daki shor nagachu mitmol shul shom v'lo yishmenu v'alav." Or it is known that it is a goring animal from yesterday and the day before, and its owner doesn't protect it. Shalim yishalim shor tachas ashor v'amisi yelo. So you should pay an ox in place of an ox, and the dead ox belongs to the one who was damaged. So it mentions yesterday and the day before. So tzmol chad, that's already one. That means 1 day. Then it could have said tzmol. It said mitzmol, from yesterday. That's already 2 days. Shilshom, 2 days ago, tlas is 3 days. And then v'lo yishmenu ba'alav, and then its owner doesn't watch it. Asal negicha revius, that's already a reference to the 4th act of goring, and on that act he pays full damage. Rava, my Rava said, tmol, mitmol is only chad. It should have said tmol, it said instead mitmol, it's still only yesterday. Shilshom is 2 days ago, that's trace. It means two acts of goring on 2 days, 2 days ago and yesterday. V'lo yishmenu, he doesn't watch it, aidna, now chayiv, he has to pay. So according to Rava, muad has to pay full damage on the 3rd act of goring. According to Abai, which is what we've been learning till now in the Masechta, it pays full damage on the 4th act of goring.
But it has to be in 3 separate days. If it goes 3 times in 1 day.
Correct, because the pasuk talks about days. It says mitmol, it talks about shilshom. Now Rabbi Meir, my time. What's Rabbi Meir's reasoning? Who says 3 times on 1 day also becomes a muad? The time is based on what we learned in a braisa. Rabbi Meir says, "Richek negik chosav." If when he gored at quite large intervals, it gored, while came, you know, then there was a while and a gored again, and another while and a gored again, another 3 different days. Chayev, the Pasuk says that it's a muad, mitzmol shalshom, yesterday and the day before, becomes a muad. So kirv negichosav, if this animal's got such a temper issue, it gored and then 20 minutes later it gored again, then 10 minutes later it gored again. Oh my gosh, the rage that this animal's got. So certainly it should already be considered a muad. Kirv negichosav lo kol shekein, certainly if it gores quickly one after the next, certainly it should be considered a muad. Amrules, they said Shabbi Meir, if you're based on a kal v'chomer, but think about the following law that maybe disproves it. We know that similar to establishing an animal as a goring animal, we have a law in Tumah that if there's a certain discharge, it can establish the person as being a tame person. Zava tochiach, think about a woman who's trying, who has blood during the 11 days of the month when she could become a zava. If she has blood one day, then a while later, the next day she has blood, and the next day she has blood, she's tummy. But if kirva riosea, if she has the sightings of blood one after the other, she has blood, then again blood, all on the same day, Tahora, she doesn't become a zava gadola. Amar lahan, he said to them, Areyu Omer, but the pasuk says over there about a zav, bezos tietu moso bezovo. And this will be his impurity in his flow of ziva, referring to a male who has discharges of zov. So it says, and this will be his discharge. The male, the zav, he becomes a zav in multiple sightings. To say only he with multiple sightings, but she can't be multiple sightings on one day. It has to be multiple days. She has to have days. So then there's a special pasuk. If you don't have a special pasuk, then you make the kal v'chomer. You say if separate days make a person a muad, certainly the same day and right after the next, it would become makes the animal a muad. My dahai v'zos l'mute zava amir ios. How do you know to read this pasuk? V'zos tiyeh tum aso b'zovo. And this will be his impurity in his flow. That means only he becomes impure with multiple flows on one day. But she with multiple flows on one day does not become impure. Maybe it means like this. And he will become impure with multiple flows on one day. But if he were to have flows on 3 days, he doesn't become impure. If he has a flow today and a separate flow tomorrow and a third flow third day, he doesn't become impure. Amar Kano, about that, the pasuk says, Vaza vesovo la zachar v'lana keva, and whomever has a flow for a male or a female. Makish zachar l'na keva, the fact that the verse linked male and female, mentioned them both together, it's to say that what's true about woman is true about man. Ma'na keva b'yamim, just like woman becomes a zava with a flow, have zachar b'yamim, so to a male becomes a zav through multiple days. The Gemara asks, "V'lakish nekeva lezachar." Why don't you compare woman to man then the other way, and say, "Mazachar b'rios," just like male becomes a zav with 3 sightings in 1 hour, you know, 3 sightings one after the next. Af nekeva b'rios, so to a woman should become a zava with 3 sightings one after the next. No, hamiyat rachmana b'zos, but the Torah said, and this will be the law of his. He has the law; she doesn't have this law. So ma'arayas. So why do you apply v'zos and this? And this to teach that she doesn't have multiple sightings in one day, whereas the hekesh, the linkage, to imply that he does have the multiple sightings over multiple days. So why did you choose to use the exclusion for one thing and the inclusion for something else? Mistabrit made sense. Koyber Eos, the pasuk of Vizos is referring to sightings. So in regards to sightings, Mimaidri Eos, it's excluding him. It's excluding her, I mean, from multiple sightings in one day. Kaiburios might be but do you think that when it's talking about sightings, it's going to say that it's excluding him from the law of multiple days? No, it makes more sense that it's excluding her from multiple sightings in one day. So get to the bottom line. According to Rav Yehuda, to become a muad, it's 3 acts over 3 separate days, and that's because the pasuk talks about days, mitzmol and shilshom. There's an argument between Abaye and Rava whether it's the 3rd day that it becomes the muad or it's the 4th day it becomes the muad. And according to Rabbi Meir, it's a kal v'chomer. If over 3 different days it can establish a pattern, certainly if it does things one after the next 3 times, see the anger, and it certainly establishes a pattern. Aye, what about Zav, where you see there's a difference for a Zava between 3 different days and 3 times on one day? There's a special pasuk of the Zavs. Yeah.
And then I would compare it to Zav, because Zav, it's the same day they are Tmeim. For the first time you see Zav, it's Tmeim Adair.
Right. But it's not the it's not Tuma Zov. It's not the 7-day long Tuma.
Of the 7 that we have. She's not yet.
She doesn't become Tamei for 7 days. Tana Rabban and our sages taught us in a Braisa, Ezehu Muad. What activities does the ox have to do to become a Muad, a habituated ox that you expect him to gore? Kol She'idubo Shlosha Yamim. Any animal that they testified about him over 3 days. What is a tam? What is an animal that goes back to being a tam? If the children play with it and he doesn't gore, it's Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Shimon says, what is a muad kol she'idubo shlosha pa'amim? That they testified about him 3 times, that he gored 3 times, even on one day. The 3 days is in order to reset the clock. If 3 days go by and on each day he had a chance to gore and he didn't, then the clock is reset, he goes back to being a tam. Amrav Nachman Amrav Adabarahava, Allah Rabbi Yehuda b'muad, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda in regards to a muad, it only becomes a muad if it did it 3 days, and the testimony was over 3 days. Shere Rabbi Yossi modulo, because in the Bryce Rabbi Yossi agreed to that. Allah Rabbi Meir b'tam, Allah is like Rabbi Meir in regards to a tam, that if children are playing with the animal and it's not going, then you know it's a tam again. It doesn't have to give up on 3 chances. Shere Rabbi Yossi modulo, because Rabbi Yossi agreed with that opinion. I'm the Rebbe of Nachman. So Rebbe said to Rebbe Nachman, "V'leimah Meir Allah could be Meir b'muad." Why don't you just say Allah is like Rebbe Meir in regard to a muad? Shere Rebbe Shimon modula, because Rebbe Shimon agreed to that. And Allah, because if it does it 3 times in one day, it also should be a muad according to Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Meir. And Allah could be Yehuda b'tam. And why don't you say Allah is like Rebbe Yehuda in a time that it requires 3 days to give up the chance of going on 3 separate days, Rabbi Shimon modulo, because that's what Rabbi Shimon agreed to. Amalasi said, no, I'd rather say that the halacha is like the views of Rabbi Yossi. Anak Rabbi Yossi's filet, Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo, because we have a rule that Rabbi Yossi was very smart, and Rabbi Yossi always had good proofs to what he said. So if Rabbi Yossi says that the animal's clock is set back, it becomes a time again with a child playing on it, that means halacha is like that. And if Rabbi Yossi says that an animal can become a muad only if it did it over three days, halachas like that, it only becomes a muad if it gored over 3 different days.
But we said Rabbi Yehuda is the halacha. Which one is it?
Rabbi Yossi agrees to that point of Rabbi Yehuda. And we're saying the reason why halachas like Rabbi Yehuda on that point is because Rabbi Yossi agrees with him on that.
In general, to be sure, when the Gemara is saying halacha ke, it's a halacha. Right?
Yeah. Well, according to this opinion, that's it. So now you know. No, once you know, the halacha is this way. Yeah. They had a question in the yeshiva. This do we learn, that if an animal gores 3 times over 3 days, it becomes a muad. What's the explanation of that? Is that liyude Torah? Is that we need the activity to happen over 3 different days for us to establish that the animal is a gorer, that that's its nature? Oh, liuda gavra, or the issue is in order to establish the person, the owner of the animal, and that he is negligent. He was negligent once, then he's negligent the second time, he's negligent the third time, so now we have, we've convicted him. So we say, l'mayin afkamina, who cares whether it's about him or it's about the animal? Let's say 3 groups of witnesses come on one day, but they are testifying about events that occurred on 3 different days. So, if the point of 3 different days is to establish the animal's nature, so even though they're testifying on one day, but you see that the animal was violent on Monday, and it was violent on Tuesday, and it was violent on Wednesday. So if it's violent 3 days, then you know it's a violent animal. However, Yamat Liude Gavra, but if the point of their testimony over 3 days is to establish that the man is not, you know, a good watchman. He didn't watch on Sunday. He didn't watch on Monday. He didn't watch on Tuesday. So he had to have been given a warning, right? He may not have known about Sunday and Monday. They're only coming now. So if they're only testifying now, that shouldn't work. Because he might say, now they're testifying against me. I didn't know about it beforehand. Or right now they're warning me. I didn't know I'm supposed to watch things. So what's the halacha? Is the 3 days needed to establish something about him? Or is it to establish something about the animal? So maybe we can prove it. Tashma, come in here. We learned it in a brisa. An animal doesn't become a mu'ad even if it gored 3 times. Unless the witnesses testify against him in front of the owner and in front of the court. 3 sets of witnesses. Maybe. Let's say they testified to the court, but the owner wasn't there. Or bifnei balim v'shelo bifnei bezdin, they testified to the owner, but not in the court. It doesn't become a mu'ad. Unless they testify in front of the court and in front of the owner. If 2 witnesses testified against him about 1 act of goring, ushnayim bishniya, 2 different witnesses about a 2nd act of goring, ushnayim bishlishis, and 3 witnesses, the 3rd set about a 3rd act of goring, harei kan shalosh edios. These are 3 separate acts of testimony, and if 1 gets disqualified, the others would work. However, vein edus achas lazam. In regards to the law that if witnesses are disproven, namely that other witnesses come and say, when you said that you saw the following on this and this date, can't have been, because on this and this date you were with us, the 3 groups here are considered 1 testimony in regards to Hazama. And therefore, Nimtzis kat rishona zomemes, if the 1st group turns out to have been zomemim, false witnesses. So you know what? You have 2 sets of testimony. So now the animal only pays half damage. Vupater, he doesn't have to pay on that 3rd act full damage, only half damage. Vehein pturim. Now, the set of witnesses that were disproven, they only have to pay, they don't have to pay as Adam Zomimim. Right? They don't have to pay, because in regards to Hazama, they would all be together, and you haven't been mazim all of them. However, Nimtzeis Katshnia Zomemes, if the 2nd group turned out to be the false one, the Edom Zomemim, Harei Kan Edus Achas Vupatur Veintur. So again, another testimony is knocked out. Once the 2nd testimony is knocked out as well, so now you're only left with 1 testimony. So it only pays half Nezek. And again, they are exempt from being Edom Zomim, of paying, because it wasn't that the whole group was turned into Edom Zomim. But Nimtzeis Kat Shlishis Zomemes, if the 3rd group was turned to also be Zomimim, Kulan Chayavim, now all three groups have to pay the half nezek of mu'adus of the 3rd act of goring. Now it was said, vasisim lo kasher zom laso slachiv, do to them what they were planning to do to their friend.
It's typical in a deal. So now mu'ad become really very not so easy to make him mu'ad.
Okay. So now the Gemara asked, 1 second, Amrit, if you're going to tell me li'udei tzura, that the nature of the testimony is to establish something about the ox. So Shapir, now I understand why if there are 3 groups of witnesses and all 3 end up becoming muzamim, then we understand how all 3 have to participate in paying for the nezek shalom that they were trying to obligate.
But you would be able to pay the full damage on the 4th time. On the third time.
Well, that's an argument whether on the 3rd or the 4th they pay the full damage. We saw earlier. But bottom line is that whether it's the fourth or it's the third time, you see that all three sets, you know, could have come together. And they're testifying about what happened over time. And so it all works, as we've said before. However, but if you say that the nature of the three sets of testimony is to give three chances to the owner because we have to establish something about him. So now, I don't understand. One set came and said on one day. The next set had to be on a different day because, as we just said, if it's about the owner, it has to be on three different days that they come. So, why? Then it turns out all three sets were Eden Zom. But let the first set say, and we came on a different day than the others. Did we know that over the next 3 days there are going to be other groups coming? How can you combine us to their testimony? Our testimony is not part and parcel of their testimony that we should be paying part of the Nezek Shalom. We didn't know that they were coming. We came today. They came tomorrow. Rav Ashi said, Amitu l'shmaite kamed Rav Kahana. I told this lesson to Rav Kahana, and he said to me, even if you say that the nature of the testimony is about the animal, and therefore you can have three groups coming on one day, testifying about things that happened over three different days, why is that any helpful? Let these later group, the third group, say, how did we know that all these other groups here in the court, we're here to talk about the same ox that we were here to talk about? We didn't know about the other groups. We just thought that we were obligating this man to pay half damage. So why should we be partners in paying for the full damage? So the Gemara says, what do you have to say? The case is that the three groups of witnesses came, whether on the same day or over three different days, but to Kamaramzi Ramuzi, they're hinting to each other. So they're clearly in cahoots with each other. Therefore, they're all linked. Therefore, when all three groups are turned into Edom Zomim, they all three pay together the Nezek Shalem. Rav Ashi said, Kishabo Ritzuf, when they all come together, one after the next. So clearly, if they come together, one after the next, they're clearly coordinating. And Ravina said, Makirin Bal Ashor, Vein Makirin Es Ashor. We're talking about a case where the groups of witnesses know the owner of the ox, but they can't recognize this ox. So what are they saying? They're saying that they came to obligate the ox as a tam, but they don't even know which ox it is. So clearly their point is not to obligate the ox, but to obligate the person, because a muad pays beyond the value of the ox. A tam only pays from the value of the ox, and they don't know which ox it is. So Elahechim Yayidle, if they don't know the animal, asks the Gemara, how could they turn the balim into a muad? They didn't see that it's the same animal each time. So, they tell him, we know you have a goring ox in your cattle, and that's what we're here to warn you about the first time, and then they come the next day to warn him the second time, and then the third day. And they're telling him, you should have been watching all of your cattle. You should have been watching all of your cattle.
I'm sorry to go backwards, but is the ox representative of an animal, or is we only speaking of the ox?
Yeah.
The ox is representative of a group of animals, correct?
Well, it's true about an ox. It would be true about another animal, too. Let's say a dog would bite. It would also
or
have the same law.
Or a camel or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a representative of the animal.
Yeah.
If you came today with an ox and it did damage, and tomorrow you came with your camel and it did damage, and the next day you came with your goat and it did damage, is it not the same? You have to treat each one individually.
Each one would be treated individually. Yeah.
I have a question. But if I have an ox and it gores somebody 3 days in a 3 days in a row, I didn't have the witnesses, and it gores the next day, fourth day in a row, I have no obligation to be honest and say it gored four times in a days in a row, but I can use the excuse that there was no witnesses, I wasn't forewarned.
Yeah. If there weren't witnesses, you wouldn't be obligated. I don't think it's a question only of honesty. The status of paying full damage is on a different type of ox, an ox which is a muad. To become a muad, it had to be convicted. It wasn't convicted.
Okay.
But the owner has no... The owner's
the status owner. Wasn't created. It was still a tam. So it pays half damage.
It means three sets of two.
Mecha, but if you're a good man, go pay. Yeah.
But you can always pay.
Oh, you can. I mean, it's
you can always pay. You can always, it's money. You can always give away money.
But if you bring in Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the ox into the courtyard or into the public area, it's different. Because you have a separation, right?
No, it would have to be that it had seen an animal and it chose not to gore it. The fact that you keep it in the stables doesn't exempt.
Clarify something, Rabbi.
No, but it was just for 3 consecutive days. On the second day because I didn't bring it in.
No, that doesn't help you. The pattern's being established. What would help you is if you brought it on Monday and it gored. You brought it on Tuesday, and suddenly it's Mrs. Peaceful, you know. It's Miss Congeniality. It gets along with all the other oxen. And then on Wednesday, again, it's scoring. Okay, so now you're turning it back.
It's like Draymond Green.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Just to clarify. Please. It's the same two edim. That's me and Gabriel have a neighbor.
Yeah.
We saw that he's did it today.
Right.
She did it today. She did it.
Right.
Can we be in the edim for
yes,
3 times?
Certainly, yeah.
Clean
yeah,
day
no problem. Good. Yeah.
Rabbi, when the warning is made, does it have to be made to the owner? If the owner is not there, the no, representative of the owner listening to the warning?
Oh, it said, Ruad Bivalav. I guess the representative could be the owner too. I mean,
could. If somebody is watching. Comfortably, conveniently be absent.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Play the game.
Yeah, people play games when it comes to paying money. That's true. Ibailu, they had a question in the yeshiva. What happens if Reuven incites Yaakov's dog to bite Yaakov? So it's Yaakov's own dog biting himself, but it's somebody else who incited the dog. So Mahu, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Mishasa v'adai pater. Reuven's really exempt because after all, it's not Reuven's dog, it's Yaakov's dog. And he incited the dog. So that's already a grama, that's just a cause. Elabal Kelevmai. What about the owner of the dog? What about the owner of the dog? Mi Amina Matzi Amarle. Can the owner of the dog say, Anama Avidnale? What did I do to Yaakov? I didn't incite my dog. My dog wouldn't have done it. We tell him, listen, given the Adina Bekabach Mishasi Limchtasi, since you know about your dog that he worried to be incited, get all worked up, you should never have left him around in a place where people might get his attention and be able to incite him, because you know he's a dog who gets incited. He's an excitable dog. Amar Abzera said, so again, it's not the case that I said, it's not that Reuven incited Yaakov's dog on Yaakov, Reuven incited Yaakov's dog on Shimon. So now, what's the law? So Amar Abzera said, Tashma, come in here, proof. We learned in our Mishnah. What's a tam? How does it go back to being a tam? The children are playing with it and it doesn't, gore. Hanogeach, but if it would gore even after the children play with it, then chayiv, then you still have to pay, even though it's the child inciting it. Rabbi said, Mikatani naga chayiv, did it say that if the child incited it and it gored, you have to pay? Dilma nagach lo avitam. Maybe if it gored, it didn't go back to becoming a tam, but bahina gichalom chayiv, but that act of the child inciting it, you don't pay for, because someone else incited it. Tashma, come in here, proof in regards to what we learned about murder. Shisabo is hakelev, if a person incites a dog against his friend. Oh, shisabo nachash, or he incites a snake to go kill his friend. Pater, that's not considered murder. He wouldn't be put to death because it's only that he caused death. My lav pater meshasev achayev bal kelev. Doesn't that mean that the one who incited is exempt, but the owner of the dog or the snake would have to be guilty for what his animal did? Lo, ema no. Pater af meshasev. Maybe it means even the insider's exempt and certainly the owner's exempt. Amar Rava said, Im Timtzalo Meshasa Kabel Shal Chaver B'Chaver O'Chayiv. If you're going to say that Shimon who incites Yaakov's dog on Reuven, the owner of the dog, Yaakov, has to pay. What happened? She saw who ba'atzmo. If Shimon is inciting Yaakov's dog and the dog bites Shimon, Pater, then Yaakov is exempt. My time, because we can tell the insider. Call him Mishana. Anybody who did something he had no permission to do. And then Uvacha Vishinabo, and because of it, somebody else did something against him and damaged him. Pater, the damager is exempt. because he had no right to be doing this thing. So the inciter had no right to incite the dog. And therefore the owner of the dog is not responsible for what the dog did to the inciter. Amar le Rav Papa le Rava. Rav Papa said to Rava, Itmar mishmei de Reish Lakish kavaseich. We've learned in the name of Reish Lakish, similar to you. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, stay paros, Pirshas Aram, if you have two cows in the public domain, achas revutzav, achas ma'alechas, one decided to sit down, and the other one is still walking. Uvata ma'alechas berevutzan, the walking cow kicks the sitting cow. Ptura, the one that kicked, is exempt, even though kicking normally is obligated. Revutzav b'ma'alechas chayeves, if the crouching cow kicked the walking cow, then it is obligated. Amale, so, and why? Because if it's sitting down, it has no right to sit. Since it has no right to sit, if it got kicked, it doesn't get payment because it did something unusual. Amale, so Rav said to Rav Papa, na ba'i chiyuv mechayivna. I would say that the one who is walking that kicks the one sitting does have to pay. Aminale, because we would tell him, ki yislach v'shus l'zguyale, you have a right to walk. Levuti be leslach v'shus, you don't have a right to kick. But here, in the case of inciting a dog, then the owner of the dog doesn't have to pay, because the owner of the dog can say, you incited my dog, you had no right to go incite my dog, and therefore I do not need to pay. Thank you.